This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Maiken Scott. This story is from our episode about biomimicry. About 10 years ago, there was a lot of excitement about research projects trying to make an artificial leaf. The idea is to make a device that, like a leaf, can harness energy from sunlight to produce fuel. An artificial leaf would not only have a low carbon footprint, it would actually use up carbon dioxide just like a real plant. How has this research progressed? Alan Yu has more.
More than 10 years ago, Miguel Modestino was a PhD student at the University of California, Berkeley, with a dream of turning solar energy into fuel to replicate what leaves do. Leaves use sunlight to break water into hydrogen and oxygen. They combine the hydrogen with carbon dioxide to produce sugar, which is fuel for a plant to grow. The goal with an artificial leaf is to do the same thing, but instead of sugar, it would produce fuel that humans could use as a power source. I checked in with Miguel to see where he's at when it comes to achieving that vision. He is now an associate professor of chemical engineering at New York University.
The concept of an artificial leaf is beautiful. It's inspiring. It's one of the reasons why I first joined my research group. Engineering is not always pretty and inspiring, but it's focused on getting something done and getting something done as efficiently and as good as you can.
And his challenge is to make not just a device that works, but one that is profitable, works on a large scale, and can become a viable alternative to fossil fuel energy.
So you start with a vision and idea, and those ideas take shape and forms that you really never predicted.
After finishing his PhD, Miguel joined a research group in Switzerland to keep working on the artificial leaf. One of the first challenges was to break up the work a leaf does. Leaves collect sunlight and produce hydrogen. But the artificial leaf would have to have two parts, one for each job. That's because for every square centimeter the machine uses to make hydrogen, it needs 100 square centimeters of space to collect sunlight, which means it is most efficient to have a relatively small part to make the hydrogen and a much larger part to collect sunlight.
If we do that, then it makes no sense to integrate every single thing into one component that looks like a leaf.
He worked on this for years. His team got to the point of making a device the size of a shoebox, which they continue to work on. Miguel eventually left Switzerland for New York University. That's where he worked on another hurdle. The kinds of fuels that are already available are cheap.
Clean fuels do the same function as dirty fuels. And that just means that you need to compete on very similar markets. And fuel markets are hyper-competitive.
Hydrogen produced by artificial leaves is not cheap enough to compete with fossil fuels like oil and natural gas. So he cast around for something other than hydrogen that he could make with an artificial leaf-like device. In particular, he wants to make something with his device that can compete with their fossil fuel counterparts when it comes to price. He landed on nylon.
Nylon is a high-value polymer material. It's used very broadly. It's one of the main fibers, synthetic fibers, used for clothing, for fashion.
Nylon is a popular fabric, especially for things like swimsuits or workout clothes. Right now, companies make nylon from crude oil. Miguel is working on how to make nylon with solar power and materials that can be grown, not fossil fuels.
There have been tremendous developments, some of them pushing the artificial leaf concept forward, and some of them branching out in directions that are different, but leading to advances in many other different fields. And also taking us a step closer to the final goal, which is, you know, to have abundant, inexpensive, renewable energy deployed everywhere across society.
One of the people who inspired Miguel to work on this is Dan Nocera. He's one of the researchers who really popularized the concept of an artificial leaf. Dan is a chemist and a professor of energy at Harvard University, and he hit the same kinds of challenges that Miguel encountered. Dan also found that making hydrogen from an artificial leaf was not as cheap as the fossil fuels they wanted to replace. So he pivoted to adapting the technology and doing something else with it.
We realized, rather than splitting water, if I could put two compounds in a glass of water and not split the water, actually put the electricity into the compounds, I could make a thing called a flow battery.
It's called a flow battery because it has two tanks of liquid chemicals. Giving them electricity makes the chemicals react in one direction. And reversing the flow of chemicals will produce an electric current. The electricity to sustain this chemical reaction comes from solar panels. So Dan's artificial leaf idea became a battery project, then a factory making big flow batteries, and then defense contractor Lockheed Martin bought a battery technology in 2014.
A groundbreaking ceremony was held at the site of Fort Carson's new GridStar Large Flow Battery Energy Storage Demonstration System at the Minnick Electrical
Substation. The Army base in Fort Carson, Colorado, started building a flow battery 2 years ago that would be big enough to power hundreds of homes. With Lockheed Martin taking over the battery work, Dan looked around for other ways to use his research to reduce carbon dioxide emissions. He learned that some of our carbon dioxide emissions come from making fertilizer to grow food. And the research he worked on could also be used to make fertilizer. He started with genetically engineering bacteria.
We told it to be like a hibernating bear. Take the hydrogen from water, solar water splitting, take carbon dioxide, and make this energy-rich biopolymer and store it.
He uses solar energy to produce hydrogen, which the bacteria take in, along with carbon dioxide. Like a bear eating extra before a long winter, this bacteria takes in a lot of the hydrogen and carbon dioxide.
They become sort of obese on energy. You can look at the bacteria and they get all puffed up.
He can put these puffed up bacteria into the ground where they decompose and become fertilizer. The company he founded now makes and sells this fertilizer at the same cost of commercial fertilizer. This is the kind of progress that physicist Varun Sivaram was hoping to see.
Sometime this century, solar energy in all of its forms will power a majority of humanity's energy needs, and that's what's needed for us to tackle climate change.
He's a senior fellow for energy and climate at the Council on Foreign Relations. He wrote a book on solar energy called Taming the Sun, where he checked in on the progress of various solar energy projects around the world.
I'm just delighted that since I published Taming the Sun in 2018, the cost of solar electricity has fallen precipitously, and we're already now down to below 10 cents a watt for a solar panel, a level I thought unthinkable just about a decade ago.
Back when he wrote his book, Varun was already hopeful about seeing not just solar panels, but solar refineries that could make clean fuel and chemical products from solar energy. Dan and Miguel and other scientists are doing that kind of work now. The biggest problem, in Varun's opinion, is that it is not happening fast enough. He says there's a joke in the clean energy space that for decades and decades, people have said nuclear fusion is 10 years away.
The artificial leaf, I hope, does not fall into this trap. Because the artificial leaf has had a great deal of promise, these photoelectrochemical cells, for multiple decades now. And yet, if you ask me today, it still feels like we're a decade away from these technologies being truly commercially competitive, if not longer. I don't think we can afford that.
But that part is out of the hands of scientists like Miguel and Dan.
This is what you do as a scientist. You invent and create, and it gives people and society more options. But once I've done that as a scientist, it's out of my control if they choose that option or not. Since the 1900s, as a society, we've invested hundreds of trillions of dollars into an energy infrastructure. There is no scientist who's going to come up with something in their lab tonight that replaces a $100 trillion paid-off energy infrastructure. So that's just reality.
That story was reported by Alan Yu.